teacher's office and put money to start with the video already here. There's an agenda in front of you. Can you let me know for the adoption of the agenda? Nikki Van Gogh?
Yes, I know.
Okay, thank you. And if I can... Thank you, members, and welcome once again to this meeting. As you all know today, that we just have a few minutes with an AG on the quarterly assessment and key controls, and then we go to SARA. But just one issue that I want to raise. I was with an advocate, Andrea Gordon. You all know her. She's been asking us with PANSAL and the languages too. So I think it would be proper next time that if I am not yet here in the meeting time is started, according to the rules of parliament, you all know the green and white book, that if the chairperson is not yet here, members can elect one member to chair the meeting until I arrive. It's clear it's on the rules of parliament. You don't need to wait for me to come. If I'm in an accident, then I don't come, that means the meeting is waiting for me to start. I think I'm not impressed with it. It's not about which party is in charge on our Vanderbilt. Anyone can raise it and say, but the chair might say, I think it's half past, we can start. We are just setting our own precedence to our visitors as well. And I saw some of the members scrolling as well late, but it's fine. In front of me, I have, I'll do the introduction before we start. In front of me, there are apologies. I'm on the next item. Honorable Sueli, Sueli is not available, she's attending a PC on health. Then you have Honorable Mamita Shilwana, she's not feeling well, she's off sick. Deputy Minister Pasa, he's got departmental commitment. Minister Mashatile, he will be doing a suicide visit at Mbeko in Pal, where the human rights day is going to be held tomorrow. Those are the only apologies that I'm finding of me. Any other comments or apologies? Another more?
Chair, says we will be leaving here in a few minutes because he must go to attend the meeting on the issue of preparation.
Honorable Van der Berg, even Nikki Baba, yes, study Arabic. Or, oh, yes, yes. Honorable Van Kavik, you have Honorable Mabunda at the birthday. Honorable Chitayel Molotov. Then we have our content advisor and policy. I just wrote the name. Then we have our committee researcher, Fiona. We have Chabu, our committee secretary. We have Joni, our committee assistant there. Where's Malas? Are you still a part of my task? There's Malas, our media person. Who's that about? Then we have Vera Makadana at the back, my PA there. There is supposed to be someone from PMG. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi.
Are you fine?
I'm good.
Are you happy with the elections in Kenya?
Okay, we do what we can.
Welcome, Tiffany. Tiffany is from PMG. So whatever you say in this particular committee is recorded. Tiffany is doing a job, so you can't register that tomorrow. So whatever you say, the Bamba Lapa. Tiffany, I'm asking if she's originally from Kenya. I'm not sure that she was supposed to be Kenyatta or not, Dina, so I'm not sure. I'll get it after. Is there any person that I'm leaving out? I see their members of the media. I see the Berger is here, the back there. Any other members of the media? Okay. Thank you, and then I'll give over to you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Thank you for this opportunity. On a quarterly basis, we prepare information which we share with the Department, the Minister, and we also share with the Chairperson. So the information that we're going to share is what we prepared in terms of the February discussion that we had. If you can go to page 4. They were just saying that we collected this information either through interim audits or through discussions, especially the smaller entities. We don't necessarily have interim audits, and that the status as we presented here can still change depending on the quality of financial statements that we receive. And as I said, this information is at February. But before I continue, maybe I must just also make my introduction. As a chairperson, so my name is Cornay. I've been in the committee before, so I'm sure you remember me. We regard this our parliamentary support that we have. You also know her, well known to the committee. Then two new faces that I have with me today is Sandile, to my right. He's a senior manager responsible for the Arts and Culture Department and some of the entities. And with him is Zanele. She's also responsible and a manager in this portfolio. So I'm going to look at the quarterly feedback, and Sandile is going to give you feedback in terms of the APC review. What we did as an organization this year is we looked at the 13-14 strategic plan in terms of relevance, in terms of measurability, and to assist the department in correcting some of those small findings that comes up year after year, so that we can prevent it before the strategic plan has been are being approved. So Sandile is going to give some background in terms of what we found there and the process that we followed. On page 5, we looked at the anticipated outcomes. So if we look at the portfolio, the department and all the entities, what we see at this stage is not a lot of movement. We still see that there's going to be 7, and sorry for my percentages. I saw this morning the percentages incorrect. You see that there is 7 entities that will remain clean. So if you work that out, it's about 25% of the entities that will remain clean. It means financially unqualified, no finding on performance information, no finding on compliance. Then we have 5 entities that we anticipate in getting qualified opinions, and that results in 19%. And the rest, including departments, we anticipate to be unqualified, with either findings on compliance or findings on performance information, in some cases findings on both. The 7 that we anticipate to remain clean is Freedom Park, Iziku, KwaZulu-Natal Performing Arts Council, the Tuli Museum, Market Theatre, Muzunduzi, Voortrekker Museum, and Natal Museum. There's no regressions, all of these were cleaned in 2011-12 as well, and it seems that they will maintain that status. Then on the next page, the five qualifications that we anticipate: National Arts Council, Council, SACOS, SARA, and State Theatre. Well, SARA just indicated that we do see that there is actually an improvement. Last year they got a disclaimer of opinion, where we didn't express an opinion. Based on the interventions that there currently is, it's anticipated that it could be under qualification. If we look at some of the detail, if we focus on National Arts Council, we also issued a document with detailed information on these five entities. For National Arts Council, the issue is still downtown. The CFO was appointed January last year. The CEO was appointed, I understand the CEO has now left. But as a result of the leadership and the interventions from leadership, we did see an improvement. They're currently busy to transfer the downtown assets to a Section 21 company. The only concern that we have at this stage is the timing. I mean, within a week's time, we'll be at the end of the financial year. It's a lot of work, it's a lot of corrections that they have to do. They can do it, which will mean that they can eventually come out of the qualification, but at this time our concern is the timing, and then we are recommending that they should have a process to monitor the transfer of assets, to have a review process, so that they don't end up with financial statements that they must correct materially as a result of the audit process. So that is at National Arts Council, the current feedback. For PANSOP, as you know, the board has been dismissed, or there's no board currently. There's a caretaker CEO that has been appointed, and the interim CFO. Previously, we found that there was a lack of policies. Policies weren't rolled out, weren't implemented. There was a lack of reconciliation. The day-to-day activities was lacking at PANSOP. With the interim CFO, she's busy with the policies and procedures, but we haven't seen the desired impact that we would want to see. Saying that, we're still busy with the audit and we still need to go into the final audit, but we can't see that the current interventions that is there will take them out of the qualification. At this time, we still anticipate that they will have the qualification. When we met with the minister, they were busy with the appointment of the board members. So we're waiting to see when the board will be functioning again and implemented. For PACOS, for PANSOP, yes. For PACOS, we also see there that last year they had a qualification in terms of assets, and they had to fair value the assets at year-end. As at the interim audit, they haven't done that, so we can't see that they're going to resolve the previous qualification because they haven't done anything about the previous qualification to date. In addition to that, they've also appointed the engineer and they're busy with refurbishing of the building. So what the auditors have observed is as they work on the building, they move assets from this room to another one, but they don't monitor and track these assets. So when the auditors is going to come in, chances are very good that the asset register won't be complete and accurate because at the moment they don't track these assets. And that can result in an additional qualification if they can't account for the assets and we can't verify the assets. We've previously reported to say that they don't have the internal audit. They subsequently appointed the internal audit through outsourcing. But the auditors there identified that there's a potential of irregular expenditure because the process they follow doesn't seem that it meets the supply chain management requirements. So there's a possibility of irregular expenditure resulting of the work being performed by the internal auditors. Then for SARA, as I indicated, we see the improvement there, and I think we're actually very excited about the interventions there with the CFO that has been appointed in January. Acting CEO that is there. There's a turnaround strategy to turn around SARA and the previous qualifications within the next 10 months. So if you take it from January by October, So that's why we anticipate a qualification. We see this improvement, but once again, in 3 months, I don't think it's possible to turn around everything. But as I say, there's action plans, they're working on the policies and procedures, there's monitoring, there was a commitment to hold people accountable, and that is what we're saying for everybody. I mean, staff should know what is expected of me, there should be a performance management system, and then at the end of the day, performance should be measured and staff should be held accountable. And that is the commitment that we are getting from SARA at this moment, is that there will be clear roles and responsibilities, we're working on our performance management system, and we're going to hold staff accountable. Then for the State Theatre, we had interventions and had discussions with the DG last year December. We also met with the Minister in February, where we shared some concerns from our side on in terms of the board. We've picked up that there's some conflict in the board, but I think the Minister dealt with it, and there were meetings with the board. We are concerned about the skills level of the CFO at State Theatre, and our experience is that State Theatre is waiting for the auditors to come in to raise the findings, to go back to do the monitoring. And we don't see that guidance coming from the CFO. We don't see the monitoring and the review and the corrective action coming from the leader in that unit, the person who is supposed to have the skills there. So we did recommend that the CFO should maybe attend some training, have follow-up training sessions, whether it is permanent, whether it's just short courses, that he needs to do something to stay relevant. I mean, all of us that is in this profession must, on a year-to-year basis, we need to do a minimum hours of training, and that is what we also then recommended. The CEO is busy with monitoring. Previously we've identified to say there's inadequate monitoring and review from the CEO's office. He's busy addressing that. And the performance information, what he said is there's no centralized person or office to monitor and review the performance information, but that structure is also being looked at. So for the year ending 2013, we can't see that State Fit is going to lose out of the qualification. With the intervention of the CEO, we hope that at least they will be able to turn around going forward. For the other entities, the majority stays on unqualified with other matters. Now, as I said, the other matters is then either compliance and or performance information. When we look at compliance, for last year, 12 out of the entities had the non-compliance finding to say that the quality of the financial statement wasn't as it should have been, meaning that when the auditors came in, we've identified errors, and the entities had to go back and make material corrections. And what we've advised and recommended is that there should either be guidance and support from the department side, or in the sector, there should be a support group. So there is entities that is clean, there is entities that is getting it right. So maybe they can do like a peer review or assistance, helping those entities to review their financial statements before they submit it for audit purposes. I know like at Soul Museum, the internal auditors have been contracted, and they're going to do a review on the financial statements before they submit it to the for external audit purposes. I know it is difficult. I mean, we sit with the small entities. They have one financial person, so delegation is hampering this process of review and making sure the financials is accurate. And it's for that reason that we say, look at the sector and see how the sector can support the smaller entities. And then the other finding on non-compliance was the following of procurement processes. This is what we found last year. I think it's still coming up. As I said, at Stuckles, we've identified the internal audit appointment as possible irregular expenditure. So those are the two areas that the sector needs to focus on to get out of the non-compliance findings. And the other area, not as significant as the compliance, is the performance information. We've seen there that for last year there were 7 entities that had findings on usefulness, and there was 5 on reliability. Now, what we've seen to date is some improvement, definitely for the department. We've seen significant improvement in terms of usefulness of information and also the availability of supporting documentation to support the reliability of the information. So we expect that the department will improve in terms of performance information. And then we've also seen improvement for the National Library. With our interim audit that we've done at the library, we hadn't had any findings there for performance information. And then overall, we also see an improvement for Robben Island. I think for the interim audit that was done there, there was insignificant findings. So there is a possibility that Robben Island can move to clean if they maintain what we found during interim audit. So there is slight improvement. And as with last year, I think if you can just go to the next slide. Oh, no, it's not on that one. It's fine. I think on the slides that's been printed, I've added the information that we reported on last year on performance information and compliance. Last year, we've seen that there was only 27% of entities that had findings on performance information. So it's a small percentage of the entities that still have findings. And with this trend and with this improvement that we're seeing, they're going to quickly get the hang of it in being able to accurately report on performance information. The bigger challenge remains the compliance and focusing on the day-to-day activities and having processes in place to monitor the accuracy of what is being disclosed. I think that is what we shared with Chairperson, Minister and Padiji. So if I can then hand over to Sandile to talk about the what we found with the ABC review.
Honourable members, yes, I'm just going to go through then in terms of our review that we've performed on the strategic plans for 13-14. I think just as a start, I'm just going to give sort of an overview in terms of the process that we've undergone as it relates to predetermined objectives, which I think basically is the service delivery reporting. And in terms of our processes, what we actually look at, we look at compliance with laws and regulations, and then we look at the usefulness of the information that is reported. So basically that would look to track from the strategic plan up to reporting and to ensure that that process is a flow from what is being reported to ultimately what is from what is planned to ultimately what is being reported. And then on the reliability of performance information, where we then we look in terms of the accuracy, the validity and the completeness of what is reported. So I think that's then the focus. And then in terms of the journey that we've undergone, because we started the process in 2004, 2005, and we adopted a phased-in approach where basically we started to look at the reliability, in fact, at the on the usefulness of the information up to when we got them to the reliability, and that process now where we've completed that, but that process was completed in 2008, 2009. But I think because of the readiness of government in terms of us actually issuing the opinion on the audit report, so what we then currently doing is that the opinion we are reporting within the management report, and then moving towards ultimately where then a decision will be taken then to actually then report or issue our opinion on the actual audit report. In terms of the, when you look at those criteria that I've just indicated, in terms of compliance, we actually look, in terms of the existence, we're actually looking to see if there is actually that process and that the department or the entities actually do have strategic plans and processes in terms of reporting on service delivery. And you also look in terms of then the timeliness, because I think there's in terms of the law there's timing in terms of what needs to be happened to happen by when. So we look at that. And then in terms of usefulness, we look then in terms of the presentation, because National Treasurer has actually give the guideline in terms of of how then departments and entities need to undergo their process of planning. So we look at in terms of whether then they're following the processes as actually outlined by Treasury, including how the annual report needs to be presented. And then on measurability, we look to see if then the entities and the departments, whatever targets and indicators that they have, are actually measurable, as well as they are relevant to the mandate of that of the department or the entity itself. And we also look at consistency, where consistency is indicated, to look to say what is reported is actually what was planned. And if there are changes, we based on the law, we look to see if the changes that are there, they actually have been approved. And then on reliability, as I indicated, we look at validity, accuracy, and completeness. So basically where it needs to go to an extent where there's adequate supporting documentation which then supports whatever then that is actually reported in the performance on the annual performance report as actually what has been achieved. So with the process, we look to say there's adequate supporting documentation, whatever, if the department is saying achieved A, that actually there's some information supporting those achievements. And I think in terms of our approach as a staff, I think I've touched on that in terms of that our process is that we understand and then we test the design and the implementation of the performance management system processes and relevant controls to ensure that within that process there's adequate facing whereby there's a department or someone allocated to look at the process and that there are then controls built into the system and that process to ensure that there is monitoring and in terms of what is being reported and obviously where there's gaps, that there is adequate follow-up. And then we also then test the measurability, relevance and presentation and consistency of planned and reported performance information, which I think once we understand the system, we understand how the department or the entity goes about in terms of their planning process, then we test those systems and to ensure that they are then complying or with the processes that they've designed in terms of how they then manage their performance information. And then after that, then conclude then in terms of whether then the information has indicated that there is that adequate consistency and measurability of what has been planned. And then we also then test the information in terms of then on the relevant source documentation as I indicated to say once then they've indicated to say this is what we've achieved, then go back and see then the supporting documentation of whatever then that they say they've achieved and then we conclude on that and which then is the basis then that we form then the opinion that we report in the management report. But what we do then in the audit report, we just take the findings and report them then but not issue an opinion, we just then report the findings that we find, the ones that are material, and our material is general based. Anything that deviation, if it's more than 20%, then it becomes material, and that's when we then report on it, either then in the management report or in the audit report. So anything below 20%, then we consider that as not material. And then in terms of the overview, in terms of the process, then that we performed, then when we looked in terms of the 2013-14 APP for the department, was just then to look at the measurability and relevance of the indicators and measurability of targets. As we say, our focus here was just to make sure that the objectives are actually smart, because based on our experience, we find that there's challenges in terms of what is being planned now when it comes to the issue of measurability, whereby we find that some of the targets and indicators we can't be able to measure it. So I think that the intention of then our review was then to at least early identify whatever gaps in terms of the planning so that we can raise them early on before then the strategic plans are approved, so that at least whatever that can be corrected to still be corrected. And then in terms of then what we find from the department based on that process, in terms of whether then the indicators were well defined, the error rate was well defined was 4.71%, where we find that out of a sample of 85 indicators, four we found that were not well defined. In terms of verifiability, we find that 12 out of the 85, which is 14%, was not verified, which I think when you look at this, I think it's still below our 20% threshold for materiality. And then in terms of then being specific, we find that 7 out of the 85 that we looked at, we find that they were not specific enough, and which is 8% then the error rate. And in terms of then the measurability, we find that 6 out of the 85 are not measurable, which represents 7%. So I think that, so when you look at these, I think although we find that there are gaps, but I think they were not beyond that materiality threshold. In terms of being time bound, I think we didn't have any findings, so we're quite comfortable in terms of when then the targets are indicated to be achieved. And also in terms of relevance, if they are irrelevant for the, in terms of the mandate of the department, we didn't have any findings there. And in terms of then just then the technical indicator description, where the framework for strategic plans and annual performance plans requires that all departments and public entities need to have the technical indicator description on all performance information, which then the process actually outlines in terms of how then they need to design their indicators and targets, and how then it also outlines how they intend then to monitor the information, and how then the people need to go about then collecting and recording the information. And I think on the next page, on annexure, it just then gives a brief description in terms of what those technical indicator descriptions actually need to look like. And this needs to be either published within the stress plan itself, or they need to be accessible in the website, so that anyone who looks at the performance information of the department can be able to, if they want to, then understand the indicators, and they can be able to then access it in within the website or wherever the public can access the information. And what we find was that the department didn't have the technical indicator description for 12 states in financial year. And even currently there isn't one, but I think based on our discussion, then the department indicated that they will develop one, which obviously since is currently not available, so it's not going to be part of the threat plan, but which means once they've developed that, they will need them to probably maybe make it available in their website, so that then whoever wants to access it will be able to access it. And also I think in terms of then our recommendation was that then I think the department needs to then ensure then that is developed, and then it is made then available in the website of the department. And then also then our conclusion then is that the department, in terms of the issues that we've raised, the department has gone back and reviewed their strategic plan, and they have incorporated our findings. And I think even they probably, I think they went even further to that. I think maybe also based on the discussion, I think they also tried to even reduce the number of indicators and try and mesh them. So I think it has been quite a lot of work that did go through in terms of their strategic plan to review it and ensure that it is probably better presented. And also then the department then as I indicated that they indicated that they will develop the technical indicator description, but they also said that they will then develop a lower planning document, which will then assist all people which are involved in the process in terms of understanding their roles and in terms of ensuring that the outputs or the targets are actually realized, that everybody has got the same understanding in terms of what is expected and what needs to be done to ensure that the process is actually then reliable and useful. I think that would be it then in terms of the review then of the 2018 stress plan. I'm not sure if there's any questions that the committee has.
medical healthcare report, we don't need to spend much time on it, just to give an understanding of what the entities are going through. I will just give you for the next 10 minutes just to ask questions and then when I very hard for your hands over on our that time now. Okay, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask a very simple question. You know, Sandile gave us a lot of information now, but actually I can't put my finger on what you're talking about. You answered the question if I ask you what the Auditor General's office is doing in looking at all these departments. You tell a newcomer what he should do. In all this points you make, audit approach and all those things, it's nothing to do with me. Give me the end of this approach. That's what I need as a politician. And therefore, maybe I'm totally wrong, but you say findings measurability of indicators. Well defined, with 4.71% not well defined. Not variable. What is not variable? I can't. 85 indicators were not variable. What? And then later on you carry on about indicators. A whole page about the indicators. What is the indicator? Is it flickers of a car or flikkerlichter? You know, when you drive your car. You just talk about indicators. Can I catch it? Can I smell it? Do you understand what I mean? I don't know what an indicator is. It's like 007. You know, you see him, you don't see him. I want answers. That's the information I can use. But you just refer to indicators. What is the indicator? That is usable knowledge for me. Just to refer to indicators meant nothing at all. After all this talking, I don't know what the indicators are. So I think it's important to give it to us. I can read all of this. It's not necessary for you to read this to me. I can read it. I've got no more information that's standing on this type of indicator. I was looking through this and I can't find what the devil is an indicator. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Governor.
Your Honour, Chairperson. I just want to thank AG for this informative information they have given us. Because really it is very, very informative in our oversight when we welcome the department and entities, we know exactly now where they are as from today. What I want to find out from you is did you sit down, actually I understand with the department, you have said so, you have sat down with the department. What about the entities, especially these five entities? Have you sat down with them? Because they are going to come before us. So I want to know if you did sit down with them, this information imparted to us, they are aware of it. Once again, thank you so much for this wonderful information you've given us.
Chairperson, again, thank you very much for the presentation. I must say, personally, I really appreciate it. I think for the last few years, we get the opportunities as members of parliament and AG bring us on those serious things happening in the department. And therefore, we as politicians must really appreciate it. But the only thing I want to say is that maybe you must use more human-friendly format. All of us are not accountants of our paper accounting background. Actually, I do accounting. I will enter in high school when I finish. So I understand accounting. Chair, I must say really there is some progress in some, I'm glad to hear Robben Island is moving out. Because we are, sometimes it looks empty
maybe actually raise in your report. And also on those other entities, I think for the last 3 years when I'm in this comedy, I must really say we have some progress really made. Right. But the only thing the pace is really slow.
Mm-hmm.
It's too slow. Because the people lose their patience outside there. The pace must be a little bit. The issue of the effort. The thing is not only entities who face the challenge of the issue of business register or what, of monitoring or whatever. It is a general problem in the whole country. It is a general problem. If you go to public work, they're saying the same. In 2009, they're saying the issue of business register. If we're not receiving that audit, a country audit, on the issue of ethics, you will be every time this entity or ever will raise the issue of ethics, register of ethics audit. Because the land audit is not even yet finished. The ethics register of the country is not even yet finished. So we will sit with this challenge. I must make this in your comment because it is important for us in this community. We also be aware because we must also monitor it as our role, constitutional role, to play the monitor role and oversight role in this country. On the issue of the point you made, on the issue of the I just want to hear, did you as AT give the department the time frame to have this thing in place? Yeah, when must this be in place? Otherwise we're going to have a talk show. You people must tell them what is the time frame you give them, because otherwise we will not have this thing in place. Because here nowadays you must tell people, I want for 3 months, I want this thing in place. It's the only way we can perform it. Or people will perform. Otherwise, let's say you come, you came and said to us, we'll quit this and that and this. It didn't happen. So you just take you helping the department on the issue of monitoring and evaluation and assessment and all this. I think you must put the line straight. Just put the line straight. I'm not a politician who likes to quote about the newspaper. But I'm not a newspaper friendly person. I don't like media. But I must raise this thing. I read in the newspaper. All the issues that money not be spent, of money we must spend. What are from your people from IT side? Money not to spend or misuse or whatever. How will we address the other needs who are there? So really, that is my contribution to a person. But I don't like it we must pull people down. You came here to come to present to us, to open our eyes and ears so that we can fulfill our responsibility as public rights. We must play an oversight role in this parliament on the issue of governance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. It is always difficult to align myself with the auditing, accounting and this report. With the outlined entities, five of them, in particular, Pan South and Sarah. Sarah, you've got it right, has been appointed in January this year. By the time you probably approached them or met them, was the CEO present or available? With Pansal board that is not there anymore, are you getting any joyful cooperation with the management or staff that is there in terms of acquiring, you know, the necessary information? Yes, that's all I wanted.
Yeah, just a question. Checking my understanding really. And the way this AG has presented this information to us, I think this is quite correct. It's a highlighting to us so that when we meet with those entities and the departments, you know what has already been defined out by DG and what are they doing thereafter. The general understanding that I just want to be informed of is in relation to, for instance, given the five entities, National Arts Council, PANSAB, and so on and so on, that they always have qualified audits. And then, amongst others, AG's office having found out, you know, some improvement insofar as when they usually go around. The AG's findings and recommendations are always there, and I believe they are being, you know, given to the relevant departments that are working with those entities, and even to the government itself. But giving an example of non-compliance of the legislations that are there, what is it that the AG will do except to give or to make available the findings and even making some recommendations? Is there anything that the AG is doing or persuading it with department to say, two previous financial years we have discovered this and we met the recommendations like this and this, but we don't see any improvement at all? As I'm saying, it's so general, but somewhere we may even talk about it until the ball come back to our court, because there should be something that should be done by whom for the good sake of improvement, after discovering maybe the criminality and so many things by the personnel and whoever. So what is it that we should be doing? Maybe the ball is back to our court, as I said, because some other legislation needed to be promulgated in order to make things be corrected. So I'm just putting it before, maybe the AG's office might be having some other things there after making recommendations. This is our next step, so that we don't find this kind of thing in the oncoming financial year. Chairperson, I made a noise for you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. As I said, it would might have more time because we must see if there are any responses from Martin and those from the side.
Thank you, Jane. In terms of the question on the APP presentation, can I just put it in context to say that
we looked at the annual performance plan for 13-14 to assist the committee when going into approving the strategic plan to know whether there's, because I mean, if the strategic plan is approved now, the findings will be raised in 13-14 and then there's no time to correct. From the presentation, what I found is that in general the department is meeting the SMART criteria. We're looking at time bound, we set no findings, we're looking at measurability specific, and there's small percentages. When we report in an audit report, there must be a 20% error rate, and then only we will report it as a finding. So we're fairly comfortable with the document that has been prepared, and the department is also looking at that. What we will do is, I don't think we've got the exact examples here at the moment, but we can send that. I mean, it's a few where we found discrepancies. If the committee wants, we can share those examples. The one thing that the committee needs to follow up on is the technical indicators. That is a requirement, and it must be there. That was in totality absent. It wasn't there. But as indicated, the department is currently busy with that process. So I would advise the committee to follow up on the technical indicators to see where in the process is the department. Is it ready to be included as part of the strat plan, or will it then be published on the website? Because that is the one thing that might result in a finding from the auditor's side in 13-14. I didn't say in the beginning, but we've also issued a discussion document on the five entities, so there is more detailed information on the entities in this document. It's also giving a comparison with last year, so I think this information will also be helpful. We have an approach in the office to say we don't talk about people if we haven't talked to them. So we're not responsible for all the entities in my unit, but throughout the organization we have this. We received this information from our auditors in the different provinces with the commitment that they had the discussion with the leadership of those entities. So I'm fairly comfortable to say that all entities should be aware of what we shared today. Then assets, yes, I fully agree. I mean, assets is a general concern. And usually that is one of the first qualifications. If the entity or the department is falling back, usually assets will be the first qualification that appears and the last one to be resolved. I just think it's easier for an entity to manage that. If you have one building, one property, to have that, because that will be then separate from public works. They will be with their bigger approach for the country and getting the asset register out for the country. For the entities, it should be easier to pick up on those assets and to get the asset register correct and reliable. The time frames for the strat plan and the APPs, Treasury is giving that guidance. But in our audit, we also gave guidance to say we are going to look at it, and we did it in terms of the addendum to our engagement letter and with our discussions to say we want this done before the strat plan is being approved. So I think there was some communication in terms of the time frame of when we need what. The money spent, and what did the AG do about it? There's not a lot that we can do, and I think it also relates back to the question that I got in terms of non-compliance. If year after year there's non-compliance, what is it that the AG can do more? But we sit in a situation where we can't be referee and player. We can't go in and correct and do the work and then report on it. So our mandate allows us to report and to highlight it. And we highlight it in our management reports, in our audit reports, in our discussions with leadership, with those authorities who have the mandate to act on it. And we also include it in our general report, where we do a comparison, where we communicate the commitments that have been made, where we indicate whether commitments have been adhered to or not, honest or not. So that is what we can do, is we can make noise, we can highlight it. But it is really, for me, it's up to the leadership of the entities of the sector to take charge of it and to then focus their commitments on solving those continuous non-compliance. The same with the not spending. We highlight it, and then it is for the department to pick up on it for the entities or treasury, and then to consider the appropriateness of the funding that is allocated. For PANSOP, PANSOP is one of the auditors that we are specifically responsible for. Although we haven't seen the impact as yet, there's not resistance. I mean, we do get meetings when we ask for information, we do get assistance. So I can't say that we're not being helped by the current leadership that is in PANSOP. For SARA, I'm sorry, I don't know whether the CEO was attending the meeting with the CFO. That is one of those audits where we rely on our provincial auditors. So I'm not in a position there to say whether the CEO was in attendance. I don't know if there's anything that I've missed.
Okay. I think we are done. I think we could very much.
Thanks, Chair. Perhaps just it's two quick things, Chair. One, we never got an opportunity to introduce ourselves at the beginning, but I want to introduce particularly Hope Madolo, who is the new head of internal audit in the department. She joined us with the effect from the 1st of March. I thought it's important for the committee to meet her because she is dealing with a lot of the issues that we are talking about. The second issue, Chair, that I wanted to raise is the technical targets. We are dealing with those, and we are going to finalize them, and we will publish them, and we will brief the committee on the technical targets for the department in our, for our APP. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I thought we wanted to thank ourselves for looking at you like that. Thank you. Thanks for coming today. I know, but I think this is the only time that we're here today. I think maybe the next thing we'll need to slot to something, because I think there are a lot of questions. Maybe members are still going to look more at the report, and then we'll have some questions to raise as well, and also how do we move forward on some of the issues. Because the issues that you've been presenting here are issues that I've also been raising many times with you, but also issues where I've been asking myself, the room of improvement, is it ignorance, is it arrogance, or is it resistance, or is it a matter of not understanding? Because I don't understand why does it continue. There are certain, because one of the issues I always say is when I look at these audit reports each year, there are some entities that are improving. You know, they would move from disclaimer to better, you know, others from qualified to unqualified. What is making these other institutions not to improve? That's why I'm saying there are some of the issues that we need to raise maybe in a more I think we need more time together. Maybe I'm not sure, members, something maybe I should look at maybe within our legislation, how far do we to go as a committee, maybe to call the CEOs and CFOs of this entity with us and the department to find out what is the problem. I think we need that in the second term judgment, because sometimes we need to understand where is the problem, why are others improving, why are others not improving, those are some of the issues. But Colin, thank you so much. You're welcome to stay with us when Sarah is there. Maybe you'll hear as we ask them where is the problem. You're welcome to sit. Yeah, it's up to you. Thank you. We'll have 10 minutes now. We'll call Sarah in. I'll give you just 5-10 minutes, friends, then you can call Sarah in.